of Ruth on this morning. Ruth is right after the book of Judges. And when you have it, if you would say amen. I'm going to read quite a bit, so if you would just be patient with me. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Verse 3, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons." Verse 5, "And Machlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Verse 8, "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each of you to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Verse 14, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Amen. You may be seated. The last time that I preached from the book of Job. And the message that God had given me from the book of Job was a message to the people, reminding you that no matter what you were going through, or warning you that no matter what may happen in the future, that God already knows about it. Right. There is nothing that can catch God by surprise. Right. But this morning, God sends me in the opposite direction. We talked about what God knew. But this morning, God is talking to me about what you know. Because it's only what you know that's going to help you to make the right choices in life. If you don't know the right thing, you can't make the right choice. And so God was dealing with me for the sermon on this morning about telling the people that it's your choice. After you've been enlightened, after you've been informed, God leaves us with a free will that gives us the opportunity to choose what we're going to do. If I was going to put a topic on the sermon this morning, my topic would be, if you need one, it's your choice. Have you ever made a decision that seems to go against common sense, but you knew that it was God's will? One of the boldest decisions that I have had to make was accepting my calling to preach. When God was dealing with me, on accepting the calling, I struggled with that acceptance, because I had some things deep rooted inside of me because of my traditional religious beliefs. That there were some things that I struggled with that seemed to go against common sense. In my mind, men were supposed to be preaching. That just seemed like that was common sense to me, even though I had saw other women preach. In my mind, why would God use me? Because I considered myself to be an introvert. I considered myself to be a shy person. Why is it that God would call me to preach? But, you know, God has a way of doing things. And, you know, Sister Amber mentioned it in what she said the other night in her talk. God don't always call the qualified, but he qualifies those that he calls. And so I know something about making risky decisions and at the same time having faith in God. In the book of Ruth, we're talking about three women here. There are three women who were wives who now find themselves being widows. Three women. in this particular time, when they only had, when two of the few choices that they had was one, once they became a widow, they could go back to their family, or two, they could find another husband. And if you would just let me deviate here or just get sidetracked here for a minute, you know, we teach as we grow up, we teach the people that are coming up under us, or we teach the people that we mentor, that you should look for security. Even we teach our daughters when they're finding a husband, we teach them to find somebody that's going to take care of you. We even our sons, we teach them, find somebody that's going to be your mate, that's going to support you. Somebody that will take care of the children, somebody that will take care of the home, somebody that will work with you, a secure relationship. We teach our children when they grow up and they begin to get jobs, don't spend all your money in one place. We teach other people, you know, save something for a rainy day. Even when our children begin to get major jobs, the first thing we talk to them about is you need to participate in the retirement plan, because you're not going to be young always. There's going to come a time when you get old and you need to be financially secure. And so we teach them the value of security. So here we find here in the book of Ruth that Naomi is talking to her daughter-in-laws. And as they prepare to go back to Israel, Naomi begins to talk to them with plain common sense. She said, you know what? We don't have any husbands. I'm going to go back to Israel, but you all don't have to go back. She tells them, she said, according to my custom, when you're married and your husband pass away, it's the responsibility of that husband's brother to marry that widow and to raise children so that the family line can continue. But she said, I don't have any more sons. And even if I could have some, by the time that they're old enough to marry you, you would be too old. And so she told them, why don't you go back to the land? Go back to your mother's house. Go back to where you come from. That seems to make common sense. And so when Naomi presented this to the young ladies, to her daughters-in-laws, we see now that Orpah and Ruth, they have a choice to make. And so now the question becomes to them, do they make the decision that seems to make sense based on their circumstances? Or do they take a risk and step out on faith and go to Israel? Now, I can see Orpah in her mind. She's sitting there and she's thinking, now, Ruth said to go back. And she's saying, you know what? We don't have no man. We don't have no money. And we don't have nowhere to go. Where Naomi is trying to take us, we don't know what's going to be awaiting us when we get there. And so I can see her thinking about the security and saying, you know, it only makes sense for me to go back home, because I'm still a young woman. I can still get a man, and I can still have a family. So it only makes sense. It's just plain old common sense. I'm going to go back home. Yeah. And so she made the decision that was a secure decision. She made the decision to go back to Moab, where she would take a chance on having a safe future. Uh-huh. And I don't blame Orpah for the decision that she made. But if you would just allow me to use Moab this morning, I'm not talking about Moab as the country, but if you would allow me to just use Moab in a metaphor on this morning, Moab represents the place where you feel safe and it's risk-free. We all sometimes have Moabs in our lives, yeah. That place where we feel secure, and that place that we are afraid to leave because there are no risks there. There's nothing bad happening in our Moab, but you know what? There's nothing exciting happening there either. Right. There's no adventure, there's no challenge, and there's no fulfillment. We just feel secure. Mm-hmm. But when you're connected with God, yeah. And not gods like they were in Moab, uh-huh. Then you can't get the best out of life and the best that God has to offer because you're busy focusing on what's secure and what's safe. How many people still live in Paris? But they have hopes and dreams that would take them away from here. But because they don't want to leave an area, and I'm not saying Paris is bad, but I'm saying there are some people who have some hopes and some dreams inside of them, but that they can't fulfill in Roxton and in Paris. But because this is where they feel safe, this is where they feel secure, they will not venture out and fulfill those hopes and dreams. How many people do you know who are in a church that's not growing spiritually, but because that is the church where granddaddy was a deacon, because that is the church where all of my family have gone to, but now you got a church over here that's growing, and you got children, and they got a kids ministry. You got a church over here that needs you to teach Sunday school, but you don't want to go over there and grow. You want to stay where you feel safe and where you feel secure. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with feeling safe and secure. But sometimes we have to allow our desire for safety to outweigh our need to trust in God. And I think I said that the wrong way. Sometimes we allow our desire for safety to outweigh our need to trust in God. In other words, I'm saying that Moab represents a safe place that we retreat to when we can't bring ourselves to step out on faith. How many times have we made choices that have gotten us in places where we're just stuck? We landed there and it seemed like we can't get out of it because it's safe and secure. How many of us didn't graduate high school, but we said we was going to go and get our GED, and to this day we still haven't done it? How many people have graduated from high school and said, I'm going to go to college, and then the first thing you did, you didn't go, and then you said, I'm going to go to PJC, and to this day, you still haven't done it. How many people have went to college and said, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to get my master's degree, but years have passed by, but you still haven't done it. You found yourself in a place where you feel safe and secure, and now you won't step out. You are afraid to step out. Now you don't want to go and take those college classes because now you've been out of class for so long, you may have to take the remedial classes. But I'm here to tell you today, but that's all right. Because if the remedial classes don't have enough people in it, it won't make. And so guess what? If you're allowed to go, everybody in there is in the same boat that you're in. Everybody has an educational goal in there that they're trying to reach. And if remedial classes will get you where you need to go, take the remedial classes and go forward in your life and stop staying in that place that's called stuck. Don't think that I'm knocking having common sense on this morning, because I realize that a lot of people that lead this world have good common sense. If you don't know how to value common sense, just come across somebody who don't have some. I mean, common sense will carry you a long ways. But when it comes to your relationship with God, common sense just won't match up. Because God don't deal with common sense. Common sense can't take you where God wants to take you. Common sense is good in making a decision, but with God, you got to have faith. Because, see, God don't deal with common sense. God is not a common sense type person. God is a God who's all-powerful. God is a God who's all-knowing. God is a God who can change any situation. God won't only change a situation for you, for me, but he'll change the situation for that person and that person. God has no respect to persons. So it takes faith to please God. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you know, you can't explain God with common sense. It's hard to try to explain to people why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. It's hard to explain how somebody can leave church on today and a whole Christian family can get wiped out on 271. It's hard to explain that a God who loves as much as we say he do can allow things like that to happen. God did not create us to live in the comfort zone. Because the comfort zone gives us a false sense of security. The comfort zone makes us think that we're in control. In the comfort zone, you become satisfied. In the comfort zone, you become complacent. In the comfort zone, you'll just be comfortable. You're satisfied with just being safe and secure. But this morning, God said that there are some people in here who got a choice to make. I read that in the comfort zone, you can die at 25 and be buried at 75. Can you explain that? You got some people who made decisions at 25. And when they was buried at 75, nothing had changed. You got some people who joined the church at 25. Got in the choir, and when the preacher preached their funeral at 75, all he could say was they accepted Christ at a young age, and they sung in the choir. Can't say they came to Sunday school. Can't say that they came to Bible class. You can say they always said, you know what? One of these days, I'm going to start coming to Sunday school. But during that lifespan, they never did anything, never made a choice to change, was comfortable where they were. And secure where they were, and they were afraid to leave their comfort zone. The word of God says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. We agree with that. You all said yes to that. But yet and still, when it comes to making a decision, we find ourselves staying with just a plain old status quo. We find ourselves afraid to venture out on faith. We find ourselves afraid to really believe that God can do all things through us, because we find ourselves criticizing ourselves. We find ourselves looking at our shortcomings, and we focus so much on what we can't do that we forget about what God can do. We talk to people who encourage us to stay where we are. We talk to people who didn't go to college, and so they don't encourage you to go to college. They can't encourage you to go because they didn't go. But then we talk to people who sit in one of those seats that were sitting down there before us a while ago. Those people are not going to encourage you to go forward. Those people are struggling with something themselves. You got the world telling you that half is better than not having anything at all. You know, well, I got a man, but, you know, he worked, but he won't do nothing else. Well, girl, at least you got a man. Half a man is better than nothing. That's not what the word of God says. Don't let the world make you think that because you got half a man, that you got something. When God put man and woman together, it made a whole. It did not make a half. God does not deal in halves. God, if you got a half of me and you got a half a relationship, which is going to lead to a half of life. And God deals in completeness. So don't allow people to talk you or convince you that you're doing all right just because you got half. So now let's go back to Ruth. Ruth, she got a decision to make. And Ruth, she decides that she's going to go to Israel. And just like Moab represented something, Israel also represented something. Israel represented that spiritual place that requires faith to get there. Israel represented the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Israel represents the faith zone. And in the faith zone, you're not in control, but God is in control. In the faith zone, you will experience some things that will give you something that the comfort zone can't give you. You will experience adventure. Sometimes we are afraid to adventure past what's familiar to us because familiar is all that we know. How many of us complain that there are not enough restaurants in Paris? I do it myself. I oftentimes say, I wish we could get some restaurants in Paris. But when you go to the restaurants that we have here, how many times do you order something out of the ordinary? You find yourself staying in your comfort zone, ordering that same one or two things that you always order. They don't even have to bring you a menu. And then you got some of the waitresses who will say, do you want what you normally get? When they say that, I tell my husband, I said, we eat out just too much. But we find ourselves staying in that comfort zone. But when you read the word of God, you will see that the people that done great things for God are the people who took risks. When you look at Noah, God told Noah, build an ark and preach to the people that have never saw rain that it's going to rain. Can you imagine how Noah must have felt, but yet and still he did what God told him to do? When you look at Abraham, when God called Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, leave all your folks, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you.
Can you, do you hear that? I will show you. He wanted him to leave everything that he had to go somewhere that he didn't even tell him where he was going to go. Go step out on risk. When God used Moses, he had Moses to go back to a land where he was wanted and had him to stand up before the Pharaoh and tell him that God said, let my people go. After Moses, you had Joshua, who had some big shoes to fill when God placed him in leadership over the people after Moses. And all God told him was, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But at the end of the journey, because Joshua took the risk, because Joshua did what God told him to do, Joshua was able to say to the people, you all got a choice to make. And that's what I'm saying this morning. You all got a choice to make. But Joshua said, I've already made my choice. He said, as for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. Then you had the disciples whom God called one by one while they were doing something. And the Bible says straightway, they stopped what they were doing and they followed him, taking a risk. And so what about you and I today? What kind of risk have you taken for the Lord? What have God asked you to do and you have stepped out and done it? Adventures and risks are the way that God designed us to accomplish great things because they require faith. If we do what God wants us to do, which is to have faith, then God is going to give us adventure. God is going to give us a fulfilled life. Faith decisions are often difficult because even though we say we trust God, in reality, we are still looking at our circumstances in our own power. The reason that we worry so much is because we're trying to fix something. You know how strong your faith is based on how much you worry about a situation. You know how strong your faith is based on how you handle certain things that happen in your life. Ruth had a decision to make, and Ruth made the decision, a faith decision. You know, she could have done things differently. Because the same things that were placed on the table for Orpah was also placed on the table for Ruth. I mean, Ruth was young just like Orpah was. Ruth could go back to Moab just like Orpah could because she was a Moabitess as well. She was young enough to find her husband and start a family just like Orpah did. She could have said to herself, you know what, I got to think about me. Here Naomi wants me to follow her. She's old. She don't even know where she's going. She hadn't been there in a lot of years. They packed up and they left. She don't know what's facing her when she go back. I could go back with her and starve to death. I could go back with her, and because I'm a Moabitess, the people may be prejudiced. They may not want me there. They may take care of Naomi, but they may not want to take care of me. She could have had that type of attitude, and that would have made sense. And it would have been okay to go back to where it was safe and where it was secure. But we see where Ruth made a vow. She made a vow to stick with Naomi to the end. Not only did she make a vow to stick with Naomi, but she said, I'm going to stick with your God. How many times have we demonstrated the same type of commitment that Ruth had? Have we committed ourselves to anybody? Have we committed ourselves to God? Just ask yourself, just like you need to ask yourself if you sit in one of those seats, ask yourself, have I committed myself to God? Have I committed myself to anybody? Are you committed to God and the church? And if you are, how have the choices that you've made up until today reflect that? Are you committed to your marriage, your home, and your family? If you say that you are, how have the choices that you've made up until today support that? Are you committed on your job? Can the people on the job depend on you? What do your evaluations say on the job? Are you a person that meets? You just get the job done? Or do you exceed? Do you go above and beyond and treat that job like God gave it to you and not man gave it to you? You know, sometimes because we chose to stay in Moab, because we chose to be in this job, And we're mad at ourselves because of the job that we have, but we haven't done anything to get out of that position. Some people, just like the person that died at 25 and was buried at 75, Some people been on a job and have never applied for another position. You stay where you are and you're angry because of the decision that you have made to stay where you are. Ruth made a risky decision to follow God no matter what the consequences. But what about you and I today? Have you made a decision to follow God no matter what the consequences? Because when you say that, you're making a very tall order. No matter what the consequences, she had to experience something to me in order to take this risk. That, to me, there had to be something during the time when she was married to Naomi's son that she saw, felt, or experienced that made her say, I vow to stay with your God. What is it that you know? What is it that you have experienced? What is it that you've learned here at the AC that have made you say, you know what? I'm committed to God. That was a sour presence in the room at 11 o'clock a.m. service. I don't know what it was, but that was a dampening spirit when service began at 11 o'clock. But you know what? You have the choice to overcome that. You know, when you start reflecting on the things that God has done for you, it ought to make you say, no matter what's going on in my life, this is the time that have been set aside that I'm going to worship and praise no matter what. Nobody is going to have to beg me to stand up to worship and praise God because of what God has done for me. You can trust God. God is faithful. You know, God, he had some choices that he had to make. God made a choice to send his son that he could die for our sins. His son had a choice that he had to make. He made a choice to come and die for our sins. Oh, it was on his mind, do I really have to do this? Because he went to God and he prayed about it. Lord, if this cup can pass over me, let it go. But you know what, Lord? It's all about you. Not my will, but your will be done. If it's what I have to do for the people, talking about being committed to people and being committed to God, if it's what I have to do for the people, Lord, I'll do it. But what kind of choices have we made? You got choices that you have to make. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you know what? You don't have a long time to make them. Can you imagine going to the movies at 12 midnight and somebody coming in shooting up the place and you not knowing if you're going to be one of the 12? Can you imagine that? Nobody expected that to happen. And so you know what? You never know where death is. Sometimes we think we got a long time to live. But you know what? We may not be one of the ones that's chosen to live to get old. And so you don't know how much time that you have, but you got a choice to make. Today, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be thinking about it. You got a choice that you need to make. Today, if you have accepted Jesus Christ and you went back out into the world, you got a choice to make. Do you want to rededicate your life back to Christ? Do you want to change? Do you want that fulfilling life that you can get in Israel? Or are you comfortable just staying in Moab? You got a choice you got to make. What do you belong to a church this morning, or are you just visiting? I'm going to this church, to this church, to this church. It's dangerous being out there outside of covering. You know, when I go back to the book of Ruth and I look at Elimelech, he took his family out from the covering of God and he went to Moab. You know, there were some times when God told people to leave because of a famine. But in my study, and Lord forgive me if I'm wrong, I could not find where he was instructed to leave. He chose to go outside of covering. And because he chose to go outside of covering, he died and his sons died. They left all of the women vulnerable to the world because they chose to go outside of covering. The people that you are responsible for, what kind of choices are you making for them? Because it can fall back on you. God is a good God. And this morning, he wants his people to know that he wants you to make the right choice. But in order to make the right choice, you got to know what the Word of God says. You got to be willing to leave that safe and secure place. And you got to be willing to have faith. And you got to be willing to trust in Him. Because there are some places that God wants to take us. There are some levels that God wants to take us to. But in order to get there, you got to go up the footsteps of faith. You got to trust God to take you there. Because when God take you to a place, ain't no way that somebody else can take you away from it. Oh, you may get there and feel like, Lord, did you really put me here? But I'm here to tell you that if you really trust in God, that if God take you somewhere, there's nothing that nobody else can do about it. What God has for you, church, is for you. So as I turn it back over to the pastor this morning, I figure that I've done what God has asked me to do. He has told me to let you know this morning that you got a choice to make. But He's not going to force you to make a choice. The choice is yours. So it's your choice. Thank God and amen.
Amen. What a word this morning. Amen. We all have a choice.